Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How you guys doing this morning? I need you all to stand up to your feet. The Bible declares, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on now. That first rejoice is for when things are going well. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is smooth. But for that second one, when things are bumpy, when things are not smooth, when the checks do not clear, when that bank account, it looks ugly, when the kids are crazy, when the spouse is wild, when the world wants you to give up, you can still rejoice, because He is a good God. Independent of your circumstance, independent of your predicament, He is still God. I want you to put your hands together in advance. Before we sing the first song, give Him a shout of praise, because He said, thanks be unto God, who causes me to triumph. You are victorious. Amen. Do you believe that? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am victorious. Somebody else say, you are victorious. Now come on, lift your hands to heaven. Let's begin to worship as if we've already won. Let's begin to worship as if the answer's already on the way. I heard one pastor say like this, while you're worshiping here, God is working at your house. Oh, come on. Worship as if by the time you get home, every single thing you've been praying for, the answer has already been there. If you believe that, shout amen.
Our Father, who is in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Come on, if he's been good, let me hear a shout of praise.
Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise for everything that he's done. Everything that he's done. Come on and give God a shout of praise for everything that he's done. For what he's going to do. For what he's done in the past. And what he's doing right now in your life. Hallelujah. Man, it feels good to worship freely, doesn't it? It feels amazing. It feels amazing. And sing that again. Because nothing is impossible through God. And these promises are yes and amen. He is my light. He is my salt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the way, the truth, and the light. Hallelujah. That's why he's my way maker. He is a miracle worker.
Promise keeper.
it out, sing it out, sing Waymaker.
Waymaker,
hallelujah, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I believe that miracles are happening now, right now.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
Hallelujah, you're my light in the darkness. Little bit, keep singing it out, because your miracle is about to happen. Your miracle is about to happen. It's in your praise and your worship. It's in your praise and your worship. Your spiritual warfare, that things must change, that walls are torn down, that chains are broken off, that the yoke is destroyed, that the yoke is destroyed, because it might be too heavy for you to bear, but you ain't gotta bear it if you're up at this altar. Cause he is my God.
That is who you are.
Come on and sing that just one more time. Worship him.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Just one more time, my light, I apologize.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on, go ahead and just raise your hands and start thanking him for being your waymaker this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus, I thank you that even when I can't see my way out of a situation, I can just look to you because you are the way. Thank you, Father.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, you, because of who you are.
Can everybody sing because of who you are?
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh.
because of who you are, I give you praise.
Come on, lift your hands, sing right to him.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, God, in this sanctuary. Lord, we know that everybody carries a level of junk in their life. Father, we speak right now, God, for we fight not against flesh and blood. But we cover this sanctuary with the blood of Jesus in your name. God, we drive out any spirits, Lord, that would try to hinder or halt people from stepping into your presence. Lord, you heard the prayers early this morning. You've heard the intercessors all week long. Lord, our hunger and our desire is simply that you will change our lives. So, Lord, we just bind up any spirit that would try to hold that back in Jesus' name. Lord, we command the spirit that blinds the mind of the unbeliever to come off. Go. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask in your name that, Lord, there be a flow and a liberty in the spirit. For God, this is your house. This is your living room. It's not our home. So God, we thank you that we're able to step into where you are. Father, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us, not just in heaven, but right here where we are. And I ask, Father, that we'll never, never not be aware to step into your presence. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, as we sing that song again, I pray that each one of us will just shut everything of the world off. And Lord, we'll sing to you. So asking in Jesus' name. Just start singing.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, Lord, because of who you are.
Hallelujah. I want to teach you something about spirits. Remember, it's not just God's spirit, but you also have demonic spirits, and they're very real. Some of you carry them. It's called oppression. That's many times with addictions or sensual thinking. Sometimes simply because that's what you've carried your whole life. The Lord didn't save you to keep you in bondage. I'm going to pray real quickly. And those that are struggling, it actually has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the spirit that's on you. You're going to literally feel it rise off you in the name of Jesus, if you haven't already. But I just feel a real sense of freedom in the house this morning that needs to come. I didn't say it was here. I said it needs to come. And so I just want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I take authority over all demonic spirits that are in this room. Hear me now. You have no right here. You know that. You have no right even on the property. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come off that individual while they're in God's house. I command you to go. Here it goes. Ooh, you're stubborn. Now, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You've had hold of that person for so long. That's right, you got to go. In the name of Jesus. Now you are the Lord of this sanctuary, Christ. Every spirit is subject to your name. Yeah. You who are dealing with sensual spirits, you'll feel literally almost like a helmet came off your head, almost like a loosening. Some of you are dealing with addictions and almost feel like a weight coming off your shoulder. And that is just showing you that this has nothing to do with just the addiction or just the sexual desires, but it is actually a spirit. And God took the control of that this morning. Now, let me explain what happens. When you get delivered, like we just did now, I have the right to take authority over every spirit, and so do you. But some of you have played with the spirit so long that it has to stay off you, but when it gets to the end of the driveway, you're going to have a choice again to allow that spirit to come back on you. And a spirit's a lot like a dog. It will come back and try to come back. What you need to do is tell it, in Jesus' name, you have no longer any right in my life, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit is subject to you in Jesus' name. Now, very rarely, I don't think I've done this in years. I just really felt that this morning. And I felt a blockage in the spirit. Now, first service, there was no blockage. Let me explain some things spiritually to you. When we do service like this, one of the flows is allowing God to move as He wills. So when you feel block, you can literally feel resistance. That's when you have to address it. So we address it over, you'll hear my wife usually praying in the spirit through the whole song service, and I'll be over there, and if I feel an obstruction. And then every once in a while, you'll hear me look at the worship team and say, sing a blood song, because devils hate blood songs. But this morning it was abrupt, strong, which means there are multiples that are in the room that are carrying spirits with them. It's called oppression. And maybe you've allowed that spirit, but today you need to know that that spirit has no place in your life. And it will always hold you back from God's greatness. And that you have the right to be free. Amen? Can you turn to someone and say, you have the right to be free? That's right. No spirit, if you're God's child, no spirit has a right to be on you or near you. Amen? You have all authority over the power of the devil. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's the name of Jesus. It's not about religion. Don't look at the things which you can see, for they are temporary. Look at the things which you cannot see, for they are eternal. And what you cannot see is more real than what you can. And there is real. And this is where you need to pay attention in your daily walk with the Lord. Especially those who already felt that come off them. You're going to feel that try to get back on you. They always will try. But you don't have to allow them. Amen? When it tries to come back on, you take authority. You tell it to go get in the corner where it belongs. Demons will always, if you're struggling with a family demonic spirit, that spirit will always be close to you. That's why the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Because the moment you lower that guard, that spirit comes back. He's going to try to come back in your life. So you need to pay attention. Be sober. Be vigilant. For the devil, your adversary, seeketh to whom he may devour. That's what the word says. So whenever you start feeling drawn back, and especially those what we just dealt with, you need to take authority in the name of Jesus. I hope you don't mind me teaching you a little bit. You need to take authority in the name of Jesus. That spirit is subject to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is healing somebody's neck on the left side, right about here. You're having neck problems. God's healing you in the name of Jesus. There's another person you're having problems with your elimination portion of your body. Way over on your left-hand side, you're feeling blockages. There are blockages. God's going to release that. You're going to want to be near a toilet today. That's going to be very important for you. You laugh. It's not a laughable moment. There's another individual you're dealing with back pain. It goes from the lower back on both sides up to the up on the left side. And if that's you, you start moving around. God's healing you right where you are. Another person you're dealing with arthritis in your hand, in your right hand, in your pointer finger and your second finger, right in the joints here. God's healing you right now. You start moving it. You'll feel the limber. God will bring limber back to your life. Father, I just thank you that you care so much about us. And Lord, there's nothing that you cannot do in our life. Father, you are so powerful. You are so real. And we take authority over any spirit that tries to hold us back from the goodness of God. Lord, we declare that you are good. Someone's dealing with a headache on the left side of your temple. It's a sharp pain. God's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I love you. And Father, we just want you to be glorified in your own home. So God, nothing will hinder us. And Lord, those that are in your house will belly up to the table and get what they need from heaven. Father, I thank you that you are withholding no good thing from your children. Lord, if we hunger and thirst, you'll fill us. Someone's right knee on the bottom part of your knee, not all the way around, but on the very bottom. It's almost like a smile on the bottom of your knee. God is healing you. Hallelujah. Lord, I just love you. And I thank you for setting us free in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, we're not going to do a meet and greet this morning, but on the way back to your chair, if you'll turn around to somebody and greet them and love them and tell them that you appreciate that they're in God's house.
Hey family, we have one of our favorite evangelists coming this month, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to be here November 18th, right here at the Horseheads campus, 9-11 a.m. You'll be seeing him in Ithaca at 11 a.m. You're going to have these cards in your chairs. You want to make sure that you pray, that you invite, and that you bring those people that need Christ. On the back of this card, there's actually 7 lines of names that you can put down here. Pray for them, but make sure you fill your row. Be here November 18th, 9 or 11, right here at Horseheads or in Ithaca at 11 a.m. for Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. We've got 4 holiday events coming up in the last week of November. We're going to be doing the Elmira Holiday Parade, the Corning Parade of Lights, Holly Days, and Sparkle. Each of these are an event hosted by the community where we get to participate and share the love of God. We're going to be having special holiday sweatshirts. They're going to be green. And if you'd like to come and sign up and help serve our community, there's going to be a sign-up sheet at the Info Center. You can also email me at outreach@histabernacle.com or go to the website at www.histabernacle.com.
Family, big news. Groups are ending the end of November, which means you need to get into one as soon as possible. Last month, we had almost 200 people attending a group, which is amazing, but that still means there's a couple hundred of us not connected every week to the family of God. I want to encourage you, if you're a group host, throw your hand up real quick, nice and high so everybody can see you, and keep it up. If you see someone close to you and you're not a part of a group or you haven't been connected, maybe you haven't been going, I want to encourage you to find somebody and get signed up or come out to the front desk and we'd love to get you involved. We're going to be covering 2 amazing topics, and every single person should be in one so we can be connected as the family of God and we can grow together. Make sure you sign up. Have a phenomenal day.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. We're so glad that you came out to be with us this morning. It is going to be a good day. Amen. It's always a good day when we're in God's house. But if this is your first time with us and you're a guest in the house, we just want to welcome you. So family, if we could just put our hands together for our new guests with us today. We're so glad. We're so thankful that you came to spend time with us today. If you would, right where you are, just lift your hands. If you have not yet received a guest packet, we would love to get that to you. There's just some information about us on the inside there, as well as right after service, my left, your right, we have what we call a guest reception. That is for you to come. There's coffee for you. We just want to spend time with you, get to know you, tell you a little bit more about us. So we're so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to be with us today. And if you're watching on live stream, we love you. Welcome. It's going to be a great one. And then lastly, but definitely never ever least, we have Awaken Monthly tonight. Awaken, for those who maybe don't know, that's our young adults ministry, which is from ages 18 to 30. Pastor Spencer felt I really needed to clarify the age group of 18 to 30. And so we just want to invite you, hey, come hang out with us, 6 p.m. It's Rep Your Team Sunday. So whatever your team is, whatever sport, come and I know we're going to have a lot of Patriots fans because Pastor Chad is a Patriots fan. I don't care about football. I'll be wearing my South African rugby jersey, and so it's going to be great. Okay, so come hang out with us. Childcare is provided. Don't let anything stop you. It's going to be good, 6 p.m. But if you would, just prepare your hearts. We're going to go into a time of tithes and offerings. Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. How many of you miss Pastor Rhonda? She is in Kentucky. So she's been busier than most evangelists. She's been gone the last 3 weekends doing ministry, and she's in Kentucky with the church that we oversee, the pastor. He's actually licensed, ordained through his Tabernacle Family Church in Louisville. How many of you know it's not Louisville? Louisville. Turn to someone and say Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky. So she's been doing a No More Hurt conference down there, preaching this morning. And if we could pray just for her real quickly. Father, we thank you for Pastor Rhonda. We thank you, Lord, for her life and the message that you put within her heart for that church. We thank you, God, that it's going to grow your kingdom there in Louisville, Kentucky. We also pray, God, for our campus in Ithaca. We declare blessing over Pastor Chad and the worship as, God, it continues to increase and grow for the glory of God. We just pray your anointing and your blessing. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right here at His Tabernacle Family Church in Horseheads. You are an awesome God, and we thank you for your goodness. And everybody said, amen. This morning, we'd like to receive tithe and offering. Usually, Pastor Rhonda's here sharing with you about tithing. You know, I find that, you know, how many of you know that we need to do some things to our building this year? We're actually got some plans already in the process of being finished, drawn out, where we're going to close in the front. How many of you have come in the foyer and it's really, really cold during the winter? We're going to be closing that off. It's going to be beautiful. Mark Macer actually helped design that for us. And so we're going to be doing that. And this rug needs some help. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're glad that you like your coffee, but you have brought it into the house of the Lord. And so we're going to be doing some changes just to make God's house look good so that it doesn't look old and all trampled down. Amen? God's house should be great. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And with that, you know, people hate hearing that, but you know what I've found is that if everybody in the house of God tithed, we would never have to ask for another offering. Did you know that? If everybody in the house at His Tabernacle tithed, we would never once have to ask for another offering. It's learning how to live within this obedience process. And as we learn to live within obedience, there will always be more than enough in God's house. I've heard people say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Actually, you can't afford not to tithe. When you handle the money yourself, man, how many of you know that you've handled your money and sometimes it hasn't worked out too well? But man, I want you to know if you get God involved in your finances, that you will always see you'll have more than enough. I'm not saying at times your faith isn't going to get stretched, but God will always supply with all sufficiency that you need and extra so you can be a sower and not just a tither. Some of you have never stepped out in faith to tithe. I don't know. Have you ever heard the joke about the denominations? I'm not talking like church denominations. You got a $100 bill, a $50 bill, a $20 bill, and a dollar bill. They're in the incinerary getting ready to go, and the $100 bill looked at each other and said, I've been to Paris 3 times. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Asia. I've been all over the world. It's been an awesome life. The $50 bill said, I've been to Disneyland. Oh my goodness, Disney is awesome. I've been to the West Coast and the East Coast. I've been to all these different environments. It's been so much fun. The $20 bill spoke up and said, well, I've been to McDonald's at least 450 times. I've been to Burger King. And then the dollar bill spoke up and said, well, I've been to the Presbyterian Church. I've been to the Pentecostal Church. I've been to the Baptist Church. I want to challenge you to be a giver. Amen. It's the very nature of God. And some of you don't have the faith at this point to tithe 10%, but you can start with 5%. You can even start with something. But if you never start with something, you'll never give anything. Amen? And the very nature of God is I'm a giver. That's who God is. For God so loved the world that he gave. God only gave his best. So I challenge you to be a giver. And I know that if you're a giver, you'll be blessed. And this house will never have a need. I'm believing someday it'll be just like Moses. They were building the tabernacle of God, and Moses asked the people for an offering to build God's house. And this is what happened. So much was brought in that Moses said this, please stop. Don't bring another dime. We can't handle one more penny. I'm believing, God, that there's going to be always more than enough to be able to do great things for God's kingdom. Amen? I said amen? Amen. So if you're a guest in the house, listen, I just challenge you, if you have nothing, to come up and touch the bucket. We have folks that, in fact, I did it for the first time in first service. I gave text to give. I've never done that before. I did it, set it up right here. It took me like 3.5 minutes. You can do that. So many ways to give. I challenge you to be a giver, to be a tither. And I believe that, listen, if everyone tithes, let's just try it 1 week. Everyone tithes, my goodness, guess what? We'll never have to ask for another offering again. Everyone will just simply do God's call on their life. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready to make our supernatural proclamation. We quote it right out of the book of Deuteronomy. God's word is true. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Shout, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, I want to thank you for being there. Do you know that we have over 100, last week, 138 people, 138 computers watching live stream. 2 weeks ago, 330, I believe, was watching by live stream. You know, many folks that watch by live stream never give, and I challenge you to be a giver. If this is your home church, this is where you should be tithing. You can get right on there, text to give, or you can hit the button to donate and make sure that you're part of the success of His Tabernacle Family Church. Actually, without the people here giving, without you giving, we wouldn't afford to be able to do live stream for you. But you know, many people don't know. It costs $600 a month just to have, to have internet right here in this church. And then it costs thousands upon thousands of dollars to have live stream every single service. So I challenge you to be a giver right online. Praise the Lord. We have some baby dedications today. Woohoo! Don't you love the babies? If I could have the Browns come forward, the Nardis come forward, and the Samples come forward, please. We're going to spit on all these children and bless them. Glory to God. All the families. Look at the Nardi family. Woohoo! Awesome. Oh, that's right. Grandma and Grandpa are here from South Carolina. Welcome, families. The twins, we're praying for triplets next. Glory to God. No. Hi. Babies, I usually scare them. Wow. That child was born with all that hair. No, really. I pray for this much hair, and I'm 52. I need that child to lay hands on me for the anointing. Hi, baby. I love you. Are you having a good day? Yeah? Daddy's losing weight. Amen. Twins. And here's my girls. How are you, ladies? Give me a hug. Don't worry, they're all staring at you. Amen. I just want to remind you that baby dedication has nothing to do with the child. One of the challenges is that some people have come from different backgrounds, and what happens is different churches teach different things. It doesn't mean it's the Bible. And so we really strive to do one thing here, and that is just teach the Bible. Amen. My opinion doesn't matter, neither does yours. Amen or oh my. Our opinion doesn't matter, the word matters. And what baby dedication is for is baby dedication is for the families. That's for you. Because the children, some churches teach that when they dedicate or do christening that, oh, wow, what a grip, that the child is now going to heaven. There is an age of innocence. Aren't you glad for the age of innocence? God has never condemned the innocent, ever. It's not his nature. But every child at some point in time is going to come to an age where they have to make their own choice for Jesus. And up to this point, this is what baby dedication is for, is to challenge the families, to challenge you. Because children are parrots. That's all they know. They only know what you do is what they should do. They talk like we do. Some of the best cussers I've ever had on my school bus were kindergartners. No, that's not a lie. They could cuss like sailors. I said, where'd you learn that? They said, my mommy and daddy. Greatest cusses are the babies. Why? Well, because they only know. Do you realize they're only going to read the Bible if you read the Bible? They're only going to want to come to church if you come to church? You know, that's why we have families. I sometimes get a little aggressive, and I get it, baby. I get a little aggressive, and I kind of rebuke strongly parents that keep their kids out of church on Sunday morning for sports. And the reason for that is you're teaching that that sport is more important than the house of God. And you might think it's innocent when they're young, but what happens is when they turn 18, their philosophy doesn't change. You put it in them. And that is that God's house is as important as long as I don't have anything else in line. And so I challenge you. This is about us. And I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for the babies, but I'm going to pray for us. That we will truly understand that we need to pray near them. We need to make sure that they understand the principles of God. That they know that the Bible is number one in our family's life. And that we don't mind worship. Amen? If you worship, your kids will worship. And so I challenge you. As parents and moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors, I don't know who else to name. John Wayne. That as we dedicate these children to the Lord, that we're saying, God, this gift is not our gift. This has been entrusted to us to raise them in the love and the admonition of God. That they will fulfill their calling, their purpose, their destiny, their reason for being on this earth. And that's the powerful part about life, is we're only here so that somebody else can enjoy our lives, not just us enjoy it. Amen? We're like a tree. They like to eat off the fruit of our tree. So that fruit is what you and I make sure is good by our examples. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every parent, every grandparent, uncle, aunt, friend, and relative that's represented here in the name of Jesus. And we declare, God, as we commend them and, Lord, put them into the position of making a decision, that, Lord, I will invest in this child. I will invest to be the example to walk before the Lord, the example to pray, the example to read the word, the example for ministry, that, Lord, they may look at my life and say, I want to be just like them. Lord, there's no greater compliment than our children wanting to be like somebody who is like God. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that each one will feel, Lord, that immense responsibility. It's not just another baby on earth. Lord, you fearfully and wonderfully made us with great purpose and design. Make sure, God, that we invest in them properly. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we lay hands on the children. We declare, God, they'll serve you all the days of their life. We declare, God, no sickness and no disease. We declare, God, blessing in everything they do and everywhere they go. That, Lord, they'll be the example and the declaration that God is good and not bad. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Thank you so much. Can you give the families a hand clap? Very good. I love you. Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. I think I've talked more of these services without my wife being here than ever, and I get in a lot of trouble. But I want to remind everybody, Brother Tiff is coming. You have a Lost Lamb Covenant in your chair. Make sure you write down 7 friends' names who need Jesus Christ and be praying for them, and make sure you invite them to the house of the Lord. Amen? I'm excited about today's message. It's the completion of where we've been. We've been talking about that we are the divine connection for somebody. Turn to somebody and say, I'm God's divine connection. That's right. Somebody's not going to heaven without you. You and I can't save anybody. We can't save the wing of a fly. But we are the people that plant the seeds. God has put us here at this exact time and moment to make a difference. You are somebody's divine bridge. You are somebody's divine connection from death to life. And without you, they're not going to go to heaven. You see, the world plays down the importance of people, but God has never played that down. He, like I said earlier, has fearfully and wonderfully made you. You are not an accident. He said, before the world even began, I knew you in your mother's womb. You see, each one of us have such a divine purpose on this planet. We have a destiny and a reason for our breathing. There are so many people that are walking around lost. Now, I'm not talking they need a GPS. I'm talking they need the B-I-B-L-E. Amen? They're lost, not just from their soul, but they're lost for their purpose. When you don't have a purpose in life, you have no reason to live. There are a lot of even believers that are struggling finding purpose. But purpose with God is very clear. And we need to get back to the Bible to understand that our number one job, turn to someone and say, number one. Come on, tell somebody else, my number one. Tell somebody my destiny. Tell somebody my purpose is to tell somebody about Jesus, to share your testimony. The truth is that you and I, each one of us, have a divine reason why we're here today. You weren't born a few hundred years ago. You were born for today. You weren't born in Istanbul. You were born here, right here. Why? Because there are people that only you are going to be able to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the challenges I've been seeing in this last message of the series dealing with Watchmen on the Wall is watching how so many believers are striving strongly to live right before the Lord, but also to be people that share their faith. And they seem sometimes, more often than not, to come up short, and they get very discouraged. And they wonder, God, what's going on? I'm trying to serve you. God, what's going on? I'm trying to share my faith. But it seems like I always am failing. It feels like I'm doing my best, but it's not good enough. And I want you to hear me now, that God has never asked you and I to live in our own strength. God has never asked you and I to just barely make it by. God has not asked us to confess Christ, to have Christ in our life, to live our own life. What's happened is we are dealing with a lot of people who are walking more in the flesh than they are in the spirit, or walking more in their old life and how they used to run their life rather than walking in their new life, the life of Christ. Now, some, that's just ignorance, where I'm not saying ignorance in a negative way, but they don't know how to live right. They don't know how to live by the Spirit. They don't know how to walk by faith. They don't know these principles. And that's why I really want to challenge everybody in this room. You need to do two things. Turn to someone and say, two things. One, you need to join Rock Solid Faith. Step one, that's going to give you the knowledge to live correctly. Can I hear an amen? Number two, you need to buy a book, and it's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It's coming. Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Everybody needs to read that book that's in this house. If you're watching my live stream, Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. You can get that right online, and I challenge you to read that book. Why? Because it's going to teach you how you and I cannot make it in our flesh, but we need to learn to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Many of us are trying, striving. We're genuine. We've had that God experience. He truly, truly changed us. It's to us. It's not a strange feeling. I know God. I know I love the Lord. But I'm trying to live for Jesus, but I don't seem to ever be able to make it. You see, when we are doing it our own way, we're going to live frustrated. When we're doing it our own way, we're going to constantly get up and fall, get up and fall, get up and fall. Thank God we keep getting up. Can I hear an amen too? But what's happened is God has never called you to live the frustrated life of Christ. He's called you to live the Zoe, the God kind of life, the life filled with joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But you cannot live in the joy of the Lord. You cannot live in success in your walk with the Lord without the Holy Spirit. The church world's avoiding the Holy Spirit. They don't want to talk about Him. You notice I didn't call Him an it, because He's not an it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three yet. Oh, I can't hear you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. The Holy Spirit is God. Genesis chapter 1, He brooded over the earth of creation. It's that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in each and every one of us. You see, the Holy Spirit is God. When Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross and He went down, and the Bible says that in 3 days He whooped the devil's butt, He set captivity to the captives, and He rose again on that third day. When He rose again, the Bible declares that God said, I'm going to send the Spirit of the Lord. John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. Why? So that the Spirit of the Lord, God's Holy Ghost, God's holy power will reside within us. You see, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, literally, not figuratively, you became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody, I'm possessed. What? It's the truth. The Bible says you've gone from death to life, darkness to light. The Bible says that your spirit man was dead, but now is alive. Literally, the Spirit of God takes up residence within your house. This is why churches don't want to talk about it. It makes people uncomfortable. But here's the truth, is that the Spirit of the Lord, you cannot live successfully for God without the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. You cannot live successfully for the Lord. You cannot witness for God successfully. You cannot live a life that is righteous before Him without the Holy Spirit of God. If you could do that, there would have been no reason to send Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8 makes a declaration. The first covenant had problems. The second covenant, the one that Jesus cut, Jesus said, I'm a mediator of a new and a better covenant, a better promises. How is that possible? Because the first covenant had to be lived by the flesh. You see, you and I can't live the Ten Commandments of God. We will never be able to do them and live for them. Why? Because you can do all you can do in the flesh and you'll still fail. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a need to recognize whatever we do in the flesh does not have eternal impact. So God sent his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come from above. He's now dwelling in you when you accepted him in your life. So now literally, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The Bible declares, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Means we're learning how to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a need to learn how to live in rest and in peace and live in victory, for I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord, not because of what I do, but because of him living through me. See, this is the lost art. The church world is avoiding the Holy Spirit because they don't want to offend people. I'm telling you, if we don't start talking about the Holy Spirit, we're not going to offend anybody but God. Because there's no way to live for Christ correctly without the Holy Spirit. So the more we avoid the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to live unrighteous. The more we avoid the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to live without power. The more we live without power, the more we've got to rely upon the arm of the flesh. And when you rely upon the arm of the flesh, there's nothing you can do but fail. So learning this Holy Spirit, learning him, knowing him, developing that relationship with him is going to empower you to a position to where you are going to be able to walk and walk correctly before the Lord. That means, man, I tell you something, there are a lot of folks, because they don't know him, ignore him. They ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They ignore the direction of the Holy Spirit, which is powerful because the Bible says these are the children of God who are led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're avoiding the Holy Spirit, how can you be led by the Holy Spirit? If you avoid conviction and the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict men of their sin, then how will you be convicted? If the Holy Spirit is the one that's bringing the message from the Father to the earth through you and I, that still small voice, and we don't know his voice, we ignore his voice, then how are we going to live circumspectly? How are we going to live with success? How are we going to live with power? How are we going to live to where we make a difference? You see, the enemy of our soul is diabolically brilliant to where he comes to the church and he says, I want to make you more relevant so you're not offensive to people. But I'm here to tell you, we've been called and sent to be offensive to the things of this world because we are not of this world. We might be visitors here, but we are only here for one reason, and that is to seek and to save them which are lost. I've got destiny, I've got purpose, I've got meaning, I've got direction. I'm not surviving, I'm thriving. You see, that's who we're called to be, but we can't do that if we're living in the flesh. We can't do that if we're trying to do it by our own strength. Come on now, you got saved because you couldn't do it with your own strength. You couldn't keep your peace. You couldn't keep your joy. Man, you couldn't keep out of sin. You couldn't do any of those things. You struggled consistently. Why? Why did you struggle? Well, you struggled because you're trying to do it with the arm of flesh. You're trying to do it your own way. It doesn't work. One of the most powerful things to do is to learn that the Bible makes that declaration in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells inside of you. That means literally everything you need is resident inside of you because God himself has taken up residency. You cannot go to heaven unless you're born again. You cannot have the Holy Ghost until you're born again. You can be convicted, but you cannot be directed. You see, this is as believers, we've got to make a decision. I choose to be led by God. I choose to be successful in my walk with the Lord. But that means I've got to get to know the Holy Ghost. Churches don't want to offend. Well, you know, this tongue stuff offends people. I want you to know that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God did not start his church until he first filled them with the Holy Ghost. Take Peter. Peter with his personality, his charisma, his personal strength. Come on now. You know when they came into the garden, who do you seek in? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. What do you do? Peter pulled out his sword and he cut the servant's ear off. Schwack. Now, I don't know about you, but I just, the sidebar. But Jesus reached down, picked it up, put it back on the dude's ear and healed it. I'd have got saved. They weren't that smart. So here's Peter, man. Jesus said, put your sword away. He put his sword away, and here's Pete. Now, man, he's a man with boldness. He's willing to strike somebody, cut him with a sword to stand up for Jesus. But yet, he's standing around a barrel with a little damsel, and he denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And this is the lifestyle of many of us as believers. We have good intentions and we have good drive, but not once, not twice, but three times we seem to deny Christ. We seem to turn against what he desires. And all of a sudden we know Peter ran away and wept bitterly. That same Peter, I want you to realize that same Peter, what happened was something powerful. There was a transition in his life. The transition in his life was when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible says in John chapter 20, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that Jesus lived old covenant and the disciples lived old covenant until Jesus died and rose from the dead. Now the blood could be applied, and when Christ breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. That was the day they had salvation, just like you and I did. But Jesus then told his disciples, he said, go and tarry until you receive the promise of the Father. They were called to go and to wait in Jerusalem until something happened. It was what John the Baptist talked about. He said, there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, go and tarry. Acts chapter 2, something happened. It was not a natural occurrence. It was a supernatural occurrence where the Bible declares that the Spirit of God came in the room and they got filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I want you to know in this house, we are never going to step back from the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We were never going to step back from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are not ashamed of how Christ established his church. Can I hear an amen? Peter got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and everything shifted and changed in his life. At that moment, he stood up and he started preaching. And that day, 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus, not counting women and children. You see, a man who once denied him because he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment he got filled with the Holy Ghost and he started living in the life of God, at that moment, everything changed to where now he's leading thousands upon thousands to Christ. You see, every one of us in this room, we can work by the flesh all we want, but we're going to get tired awful quick. Learning who and how the Holy Spirit works in our life is a key to the success of our walk with God. So many of us have, now listen now, many people have walked away from the Lord because they tried that Christian thing, but it didn't work for them. And it didn't work for them because they got saved but tried to live their old way. You can't live your old way and see spiritual production. You cannot live your old way and see supernatural release. You cannot live your old way and see that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. You cannot live your own way and think that you're going to have what God has for you. Because if the old way worked, then we would have stayed in the law. But because the old way does not work, life in the flesh never works. Only life in the Spirit, or Jesus wouldn't have sent the Holy Ghost. So many of us are just struggling. Lord, I want to serve you. God, you're like Peter, man. You're serious, man. You really have had that God experience. You walked with him. You talked with him. But now you're struggling so desperately and deeply. And God is saying, listen, you need my Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You need to hear what I'm saying to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You and I are the church. But there's no way for us unless we start yielding to the Holy Ghost. There's no way unless we start saying, Holy Spirit, however you want to lead my life. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. When we learn how to give up and let God be God. Many people look at my wife and I and can't understand how we're, you know, for those who don't know, I shared 2 weeks ago or a week ago about, it's been 8 weeks, I believe, next week. We got flooded in our house, between $80,000 and $100,000 worth of damage. So we've been living in hotels for 7 weeks. I just moved home on Thursday. It's not done, but I got home on Thursday. My wife will come home on Monday. I better have more done. And they look at us and say, you know, we'd never know that. You wouldn't know that. Why? Because, listen, in the spirit, these things of the flesh mean nothing. This is not my home. I'm a sojourner here. I'm a person of destiny and purpose here. Listen, I cannot look at those things which can be seen. They are temporary. I can't be driven. My decisions can't be owned by what's in front of me. I walk by faith and not by sight. I call those things which are not as though they already are. It's a different lifestyle. Listen, I'm not saying it wasn't uncomfortable. I'm not saying I wasn't irritated at times. But honestly, really, our life didn't change much. We did as much ministry. We loved as many people. I prayed. I sought God. I brought the word from heaven for you. How is that possible? Because I choose. I've made a decision that if I live by the flesh, my life would have been messed up. Come on now. If I lived in the flesh, I would have been living in a hotel for 7 weeks, and that would have sucked my life dry. But it couldn't suck my life dry. Why? Because that is a temporary thing, and I live eternally. You see, my eyes are fixed on Christ, and it's time to walk by faith. It's time to walk in the Spirit and stop calling those things which they are as though that's the way it's going to be. We've got to make decisions. And this is where you and I as believers, if we don't make this change, you're going to continue to live frustrated in Jesus or walk away. Your life doesn't change if you're doing it your way. Because if your way worked, you'd get yourself to heaven. Amen. If your way worked, why would you need God? Amen. That's why some people don't need God, because they watch your life. You declare yourself born again, you declare yourself a son and daughter of God, but you live according the same way they do. You deal with strife the same way. You deal with pressure the same way. You deal with adversity the same way. And they're watching you and saying, well, why would I need the God you got? I even got more money than you. Listen, I know folks who live in big houses that got empty hearts. But they're watching for life. And life isn't because you got a tag on you called Christian. Life is because you live the life of Christ. When we learn these principles, I want you to know that you're going to live better. Learning to walk in the Spirit. Learning how the power works. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, God has power for you that's beyond the natural capability. God has power for you to overcome disease. God has power for you to overcome sickness. God has power for you to overcome sin. God has power for you to overcome the demonic. God has power for you. He just makes things happen all the time. For there's nothing impossible for God. Listen, I got like 10 verses running through my head right now that I just can't, my mouth can't move fast enough to quote them. For those who walk in the flesh, when problems come up in our life, we look at it. When sin comes in our life, we look at it and we seem to fall. Well, why do we fall? Let me tell you why. If power comes from receiving the Holy Spirit, yet we don't live in the Holy Spirit, then when temptation comes, the only thing we have is our self-ability to say no. But when you have the Holy Spirit, God God sends a power release from heaven of grace, grace being the power to live holy, grace being the power to survive in a problem, grace being the power to call those things which are not as though they already are. He sends you a grace that makes no sense. That's why the declaration, it says this, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because you're not looking at it as something that's deadly. You're looking at it as an opportunity for God to show himself powerful, miraculous, supernatural, and not just because it came from above, but because it came from within. You see, you're powerful people, and the devil just wants to keep you down. He wants you to think that you're just some Christianette surviving, waiting for the call of God to get out of this world. But I'm here to tell you, God needs you in this world, and that's why you're still here. But God needs you to live successful in this world, to be the example, to be the power. So God said he's put power in your hands to heal people. Signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. How many of you believe? How many believers in the house? How many going to hell in the house? We'll get altar call. If you're saved in the house, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any other thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God working with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. It's time to recognize that we must start living in the spirit and stop living and trying to do God in the flesh in your own ability. And until you learn that, you're going to always be frustrated. Well, I just don't feel God like I used to. Of course you don't. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. You know, you don't come to the house of God like you used to worship. You used to be around the altar. You used to be in your chair. You'd raise your hands. You'd love on God. You know, that's when you came to church every week. Now you come every once every 3 to 2, maybe 3 weeks. And you can't understand. Well, I don't feel God like I used to. Well, how can you? You don't pray during the week except when you've got problems. You know, he's not Santa. He's God. He's God whether you like him or not. He's God whether you believe in him or not. He's supernatural whether you believe in it or not. He has everything available for you whether you believe it or not. The fact is that if you don't believe it, you can't receive it. But if you understand and you start walking in the Spirit, you will not just not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll live successful, for he's made me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's time to recognize that I must know the Holy Ghost. I must walk in the Spirit. I must be filled. I must be filled with the Spirit of God. And one of the evidences of that is the speaking in other tongues.
Well, I tried that too. It didn't work.
I don't know. Paul seemed to think it worked. He spoke in tongues more than them all. See, this is where, as believers, we're coming to crossroads in our life. And now, especially in these last days, you need to know that the diabolical attack upon the body of Christ, to disengage you from Jesus, is his greatest ploy at this point. Why is that necessary? Why is it necessary? Because the enemy knows his time is short on this earth. He understands that he doesn't have a lot of time to glean as many souls for himself as possible. And the greatest treasure is one that was once serving God, a trophy of heaven. That is now a trophy on hell's doorstep. So he's striving to disconnect you. He's striving to get you offended in church. He's striving to get you not to read the Bible. He's striving to get you to walk in the flesh and to see that, listen, I can't seem to do it right. And God is saying, no, you don't understand. This is not by might. This is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When you and I walk in the Spirit, everything shifts. Everything changes. I'm not saying there aren't challenges, but if God is for you, who can be against you? Oh, that's right. That's the Bible. I've quoted you probably almost 40 verses already today. Why? Because the word is a seed, and it's going to get in you, and God's going to start eating at you. Because some of you are right on the threshold of saying, this is not working for me. And God is saying, no. You're right. It can't work for you. Until you let me work for you, you are always going to be a failure. It's in Christ that we are successful. It's in Christ that we live successful. It's in Christ that we have the power. It's in Christ that we have the authority. It's in Christ that all things can be accomplished. In the flesh, we can do nothing. It will have no eternal value. It will have no end result. But you see, whatever you do in the Spirit of God, you'll always find that God has eternal impact. God has eternal purpose, and God will use your life to bring lives to Him. He will use you as that place and that person to be the threshold to step them from death to life. But if we always walk in the flesh, we're always just going to struggle. You see, it's in my spirit. There's some of you who once served God with all of your heart, and you haven't felt Jesus for a long time. You haven't felt Jesus for a long time because you've disconnected yourself from the Holy Spirit. He's directing you, He's teaching you, He's telling you, and you're ignoring Him. And when you ignore Him, what ends up happening is, after a while, He starts stepping back. We've got to make decisions in our lives. Are we in this to just go to heaven? Are we in this to make change? Are we here still on this earth because I just want to hang out? Or are we here on this earth because God's purpose for us is not concluded? See, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're not some religious sect that sits down in the middle of a cornfield. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are the anointed. We are the appointed. We are the ones that God has said, I place my entire vision upon the people that are in that building. They are my kids. They are my ambassadors. They are my voice. They are my hands. They are my feet. They are my authority. And if they will speak it, heaven will back it. When we learn this truth, it changes how we live for God. You see, I can live in the middle of the trauma that we've had for 7 weeks, and none of you would know unless we ever said it. And the only time I ever bring it up, if you remember, when my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, we didn't tell any of you. You had no clue that we were going through a very, very challenging time where the doctor's pictures and reports were all very clear. Stage 3 cancer, she'll never be the same. We're going to cut her up, and we hope she lives. You had no clue that was going on. Why? Because, well, I don't need anybody speaking death to me, by the way. But number two, we know this, is God's promise is yay and amen. God can't lie. And if I learn to live in the Spirit, God never fails. If there's failure in your personal walk with the Lord, it's because you're walking in the flesh. If there's failure in our life, in our families, it's because we're not walking in the Spirit. Because God can't fail. It's impossible for Him to fail. So if we're walking in the Spirit, we can't fail. You see, today, my goal and really what I felt God speaking to my heart was, some of you, you've lost the joy of your salvation. That's why you don't share the gospel anymore. And some of you are walking so deep in the flesh, you're ready to give up. God wants you, He wants you to hear Him very clearly. He's not giving up on you. Don't you dare give up on Him. And not just that, stop living in such a stressful environment. What do you mean, Pastor? Should I quit my job? Should I leave my wife? The environment has nothing to do with the people around you. Because the Bible says very clearly, where His presence is fullness of joy. So if you live in the Spirit, in the presence of God, no matter what is coming against you, you can keep the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You can live in a peace that passes all understanding. You can live in a place of victory, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, like they did when they were beaten, thrown down in the lowest prison with Paul and Silas. But when they began to praise, when they began to declare what was in their heart, when they declared the Spirit of the Lord that was on them, let me tell you, something changed. Why? Because an earthquake came. You see, when you understand how to move in the things of the Spirit, there's nothing on this earth that can hold you down. It's all about learning. And some of you have good intentions, but you've only gone to first grade, and you want to live a college lifestyle. You can't do that and be successful. You got to go to school. The Bible calls it discipleship. You see, that's why we have Rock Solid Faith three different times during the week. While I already took it, I guarantee you could take it four more times and still learn every single class. Because I still learn, and I've been teaching it for 25 years. I wrote the book. Every one of us need to grow. We need to learn how to walk more in the Spirit. We need to learn how to fulfill God's purpose for our life. We need to learn what to do when temptation comes. We need to learn how to obey the Spirit when He convicts us. We need to learn how to respond to the Holy Spirit when He whispers in our ear. You see, so many of us are so busy, we can't even hear the whisper of God. And God is saying, how can I lead you? How can I direct you if you can't even listen to me? You see, the awesome part is this. As the divine connection, He needs us to be aware. Right now is the time. Go tell your mother. Go tell your mother. The Holy Spirit tells us. Go tell your mother. This is the moment. I prepared them for this moment. Go tell your son. I know he's rejected you all these other times, but I prepared him. Go tell him right now. I set it up, says the Spirit of God. Come on now. You see that worker that's always rejected me. Go tell them right now. Come on, it's break time. I've set them up. Something's going on in their life. I've set them up to where now they're going to hear the gospel and be saved. Come on now. Go down this aisle at Walmart. I've got somebody halfway down that is sick, that is hurting, and I'm going to send you as my ambassador. I'm going to send you as my son and daughter. It's time to recognize God needs your life. We are the watchman on the wall. Without us, God's voice is mute on the planet. And He's not asked us to do it on our own. Not by might. Not by power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? You can play. Makes me sound better. You see, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, it's not that you don't have the Spirit of God in you, but you're not full. Man, have you ever gone through a hard day? Like a long day? Hot, hard day. We know it's not hot right now, but think about the summer. Hot, hard day. And man, someone brought you a glass of water, and it's only a quarter full. Let me say it this way. I'll tell you an irritation I have. I used to be a server. I liked serving, by the way. Used to be a server. The only thing that actually bothers me is when the server allows my glass to go empty. Their tip goes down every time it gets empty. If you're serving me, don't let my glass go empty, because I'm a really good tipper. You don't forget. Because there's nothing worse than needing water when you don't have water. Jesus said, if you receive this water, you'll never thirst again. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. But yet some of us, you've allowed our well to dry up because you're trying to pump it with your own hands. We need to allow God's Spirit to flow. That means you got to obey Him. You got to be in the Word. If you're not in the Word, baby, your faith will dry up and wither. Your well will go dry. If you're in the house every once in a while, you're not going to make it. You're going to dry up. You know, I love what David said. said, there's nothing better than being a doorkeeper in the house of God. You know, many people don't know what that means. He said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than anything else. It was the worst job in the church. Do you know what the doorkeeper's job was? The doorkeeper's job was to make sure that every man that came in was circumcised. That means that every man had to show himself to somebody. The doorkeeper was seeing far more than he wanted to see on a consistent basis. You're saying, what? That's the truth. If you're a doorkeeper in the house of God, you saw men's personal private property every time a man walked in to prove that he was circumcised. And this is what David said. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than anything else. You know why? Because he loved the presence of God. Some of you have extracted yourself so far from the anointing, so far from the presence of the Lord. You haven't been prayed for in so long. You haven't been at the altar for so long. You are barely coming to church. You're dry. You see, you're not going to share the gospel with anybody if you're dry. The enemy's working in your life. You can't walk in the Spirit if you're dry. One of the great understandings of the Holy Spirit is oil. Anybody ever drive a vehicle with no oil? I did. 360 police interceptor, bored out. Beautiful truck that made very beautiful white smoke as it blew up on the side of the road. The oil pump had stopped and I didn't have a little red dot. So I kept going. Looked at my dog and said, don't think anything's wrong. Boom! Dead on the side of the road. Some of you are close to being dead on the side of the road because you're walking this faith life in the flesh and you can't live. We must walk in the Spirit. If I asked you a question, then it would be this. How much did you feed your spirit man this week? You know, Facebook is an amazing creature. I love Facebook because you tell me everything. That's how I know how to pray for you. I read your Facebook. Isn't it funny? It's true, though. I see people on there pushing their business. I see people on there declaring, wow, you know, if you do this, and I can be there for this. And man, they're pushing. But you never see anything about Jesus. They share their business. They share their life, but they never share Christ, which shows they're probably pretty dry. I challenge you. What did you feed more this week? Your flesh or your spirit? Did you go without eating in the Spirit? Where are you? Oh, there's the anointing right there. Where are you? I'm waiting. You just need to know. I wasn't just babbling. I'm waiting. Because I could end the service, but without the Holy Spirit, what would be accomplished? Where are you? Every one of us got difficulties in our life, but where are you? Are you avoiding the Holy Spirit? Are you ignoring the Holy Spirit? Who is he in your life? Until you realize that, ask him. You're going to rely more on the arms of the flesh and see greater failure and frustration than oil in the engine, which makes it smooth. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know you're doing things right now. Lord, I brought your word. I brought your message. But I can't bring change, Lord. I can only bring your word and bring your message. Holy Spirit, you're in those that are in the kingdom here. Starting with me, draw me closer. Holy Spirit, I want to walk more in Christ. I want to please Christ. And God, I want you pleased with me. Even through difficulties, I want to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, more than anything, I want to be able to share your gospel. Lord, I want that to be the greatest trumpet that's in my mouth. Lord, not my this and not my that, not this over here and that over there. But God, I want people, when they look on my Facebook page or they look at my life, even greater, look at my life, they'll say, yes, they're a believer. They're a child of God. I hate them for it, but they are. Please, Jesus. Lord, each one of us in this room, I just ask that you deal with each one. Lord, those that are not saved in this room, Holy Spirit, I know you're convicting them already. That's what you do. I know that you're drawing them already. That's what you do. I pray that they'll surrender and that they'll give their life to you today. Lord, there are those in this room that are not baptized in your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you told them, you said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. I ask in the name of Jesus that those that are not filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, that today you'll put a hunger in their heart, that they'll get to the altar, that God, they'll receive the free gift that will empower them, but you shall receive power. Lord, that we'll be your witnesses. And in these last days, we'll bring in the greatest harvest we've ever seen. Our friends, our neighbors, our moms and our dads, our uncles, our aunts. Lord, they'll hear the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Please, Jesus. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a religion or a church. I want you to start living life. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Today, if you don't know Christ, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect from this moment on, but with God, He's for you, baby. There's nothing that can be destroying you. Today, if you don't know Jesus and you want Him, maybe you're backslidden. You need to be reconciled to God. This is your moment. I'm going to ask just real quickly. Does anybody here want Jesus to come into their life? You want to get right with the Lord? I'm not going to wait long. Get your hand right up in the air. If you put your hand in the air right now. 5. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Put it right back down. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? No. Come on, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. I'm going to have the staff and the pastors and the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please. Many of you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. Some of you got filled once, but you've never spoken in tongues since that day. The Bible said, stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. The Word of God also declares that they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 and refilled in Acts chapter 4, and they received that boldness to do the Word of God. So today, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the altars will be open. If you need to be refreshed, refilled, the altars will be open. Where's my salvation lady? Come here, young lady. This is Heather. She has 6-inch spikes on. 5-inch spikes. Come on up here, honey. This is Heather. Am I better?
Yeah. Okay.
She got saved here too. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm believing, God, that you are going to lead many souls to Jesus this year. We don't have a lot of time left. I believe that God's going to use your life. There's no greater joy than leading someone to Jesus, knowing that their life has been transformed. Make sure you share the gospel. Be led by the Spirit. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to come right out of your chair. Meet me right up front. Meet me and Heather right here. You don't have to be bold. Can you give them a hand clap as they come this morning? Amen. Very good. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm so proud of you guys. Come on over here. It's Heather. I'm so proud of you, honey. Nice to meet you. Sir, glad you're here. Proud of you, honey. She's going to bring you right on over there and pray with you, get your Bibles. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible says when somebody gets reconciled, all of heaven starts to shout. Don't let heaven outshout you. Come on now. Today, as we dismiss, I just want you to know, as your pastor, and I want you to know, God would say to you very clearly, He wants to take you on the adventure of learning how to walk in the Spirit. It's awesome. The walk of faith is so fun, because even with challenges, you'll always come out standing. God is so powerful. And I challenge you to share the gospel with somebody this week to be saved. How many of you will do that? You'll share the gospel with somebody. Don't do it on your own strength. Ask the Holy Spirit who to lead you to, and He will. He'll direct you to somebody. You'll plant a seed. Somebody might water, but God's going to bring the increase, because Jesus loves everybody. Amen. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost or refilled, refreshed, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. We'll just let this time go. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll see God bless your flesh.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.